Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Well, my family and I lived in Kansas. There was a farm not too far from us, that farm that grew berries. Strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, had all kinds there. And the farmer called it Gary's Berries. Now, to help promote the place, a few years after he got it going, he started growing a corn maze in one of his fields. Now, if you're like me as a kid, I liked mazes, okay? You know, the kind you buy them in a book there, and you get a pencil, and you work your way through from it to the beginning to get through to the other side, and sometimes I might start at the end and work my way back to the front just to see if that works any better, you know? You got all kinds of different ways of doing that kind of thing. It's always a lot of fun. But like I say, this guy, he created a maze there, an eight-acre cornfield. Now, the owner, Gary Starr, said the trick to creating the maze is this, is to create it soon after the corn stalks, say that three times real fast, right? As soon as the corn stalks start growing up out of the ground, all right? So then what he would do is that he had a grid there on this 8 acres, and so then he'd make the maze on a paper grid and then transfer that out there into the field. And then what he would do then is that once that he got that out there where he wanted it, well, then he'd go through there and spray a corn killer on the path. So that way, you know, you'd have a nice clear path to get through the maze. Now, like I say, it's 8 acres. Now, in order for anybody to be able to go into the maze, they have to qualify in a couple ways. One, you got to be able to walk 2 miles. And the other is that he had 2 bridges in the middle of it that you had to go up and over, so you just to help create the maze. Now, it was a lot of fun to go. It's one of those things where that you took the youth group out there too and had fun with that. And in particular, it was always fun doing it at night. You know, he had some lights out there, but it was always kind of fun there in the dark in October. Because one of those frustrating things is that you're going through the maze there and you can hear people all around you. But it's so thick that you can't see where people are until you walk around for a while, get lost, try again, keep walking around until you finally get out. A lot of fun. Now, why talk about mazes this morning? Well, quite frankly, I think it's a good fit for our gospel reading here for today. Well, let's explore how. Now, follow along here. Jesus is up in an area, Caesarea Philippi. You know, that's way up north of in Israel. Now, why he's up there, we really don't know. I suspect he's probably up there because he wanted to get away from the crowds. Everybody's bugging him, and he wanted to be with his disciples. And so here he is, he wanted to be alone with them, and this was a time in which he was beginning to teach them. And so this particular instance here, he asked his disciples a few questions. Well, think of it, when you're back in your confirmation days and the pastor's asking you questions, that's the kind of thing that's going on here with Jesus and them. And that's why I think that thinking of this as a maze really fits so well. Now imagine, if you will, you're with the disciples, and you're at the beginning of the maze, and Jesus starts off by asking this question. He says to you, the right answer to my question will get you through the maze. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then you begin to walk into the maze. Now, as you're walking ahead, and when you look ahead, you see a sign there that says, some say John the Baptist, go right. So you're thinking, well, that might be a good possibility there. So you're thinking about how, well, there are many people who recognize that John the Baptist was a prophet. And in fact, some asked John that, you know, are you the Christ? And John replied, no, I'm not the Christ. Someone coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Well, he will baptize with fire. Well, after John was killed, he died. Some thought that his spirit was now in Jesus. An honor to be sure, but yet if you go down that path following John the Baptist, you'll find that that is a dead end. Well, you decide not to go that way. You walk a little bit farther. And then there's a sign that says, Elisha, go left. Well, this might be a good one. Elisha, again, a prophet. Elisha, who did mighty miracles, astounding ones. And you're thinking, Jesus? Well, he's done some pretty astounding miracles too. Well, maybe that's the right way to go. You know, Jesus did cool things like Elisha. And then there's Malachi the prophet, who said that Elisha would come back. Behold, I will send you Elisha the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now you're thinking, well, there's a lot of similarities here between Jesus and Elisha. Maybe that's the right way to go. But again, as promising as that path looks, as you go down that path, you would find that that too is a dead end. Now, you don't take that path, and you can continue a bit further there, and there's a sign that says, Jeremiah, take the left fork. Well, Jesus was a compassionate person, and as Jeremiah was known to cry a time or two, Jesus did as well. Maybe that was it. Or maybe it was because Jeremiah was told by God, see, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, that certainly sounds like something that the Messiah would do. People there were expecting the Messiah to kick the Romans out. And so maybe this is it. Maybe this Messiah, the Christ there, it's Jeremiah come back. Maybe that's it. But those who would take that left fork there and go follow the path of Jeremiah, thinking that's who Jesus is, well, they would find that that too is a dead end. So you don't take that path. And as you're walking along further, you see, you know, there's other signs there for other prophets, you know, and they too, they're all dead ends. And so now you're in the center of the maze. Jesus is still with you there. And so he asks the question as you are in the midst of the maze, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the sign that will lead you out of the maze. Fun things, mazes. Fun is if you get to the end there and you get out of the place, that's when it's fun. While you're going through there, well, that's kind of a hassle, and sometimes you get a little concerned about, am I ever going to get out of this place? Particularly if you're doing it there at night, and there's just a little light here and a light there, and you're hearing voices all around you, but you're not getting anywhere. But are not the times that we live in kind of like that, though? How many folks around the world are still stuck in the maze? They have people saying to them, there's many paths to God. Go down any of them, you'll find that they're all dead ends. Whole religions, billions of people who follow them, are all walking down dead ends. They may be preaching peace, but inside they're full of hate. They may preach to you that, hey, you know, if you follow this path here, you'll become your own God. You'll be a God. Some will preach to you that, well, you can live in heaven for a while and then come back and start all over again. There's that opportunity. Then there's other paths that say, well, you know, if you do enough good works, that'll get you out of the path for sure. But all of these, they're all paths that all lead to dead ends. They will not get you out of the maze. There's only one, and only one path that leads you out of the maze of life, and that is Jesus Christ and Him alone. God sent him to be the one to make it possible for us to get through this maze of life and to get to heaven. Think of the corn stalks as sins. There's lots of them. So much so that you can't see all around you, and you have this path here. And so you're on that path, and you're thinking, it's like, well, is this the right path to be on? And lots of ways to get caught thinking that, well, this might be a good path, this might be a good path, and you're not sure. You might be thinking good works again is the one that's going to get you out of there. Makes sense, doesn't it? Or perhaps your eyes are on Jesus for a while and now they're off. And then when you start to look back and try and find Jesus, you find that all the paths start looking alike. You see, as a believer, stopping and confessing one's sins helps clear the way to the true path again. And that is the meaning behind Jesus' words when he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys to the kingdom of heaven are forgiveness. Forgiveness earned through Jesus' death on the cross and rising from the grave alive, to open the door to heaven, preparing for places for us to go to be with him one day. Now, when he's talking about binding things on earth, well, that's not forgiving. And loosing things on earth means forgiving. And the authority has been given to us to forgive one another, to forgive all those sins that we have committed against one another. We have the authority to say, I forgive you. You see, Jesus is the one who has earned that authority for us. And in turn, here at church, when you hear me say that I forgive you your sins, you're the ones who have that authority. You're the ones who have asked me, a called and ordained pastor, to do that on your behalf. Now, me in and of myself, I cannot forgive your sins, but have been given that authority by Jesus Christ. You see, when you hear me say, I forgive you your sins, that's as if Jesus Christ is saying that from heaven, and indeed your sins are forgiven. You see, because Jesus is the one who has the authority and has given that to us, we can, we do, and we will always be able to forgive one another. You see, again, it gets right back to what Jesus has done for us and the authority he's given to us. And so when we are forgiven our sins, like we were at the beginning of the service there, we clearly see yet again how when we live this life, how to get out of the maze and into heaven. It is through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone. So thank the Lord for the faith that you have been given. Live the faith that you have been given. And as you walk along through life's maze, encourage others to walk along with you. For you are the one who knows how to get through that maze. Why? Because you know who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess.